Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're exploring the book of Zechariah and discovering the message that the King is coming. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. So thankful for each one of you and for your individual love for the Lord and for the Bible. Looking forward to learning just a bit more today. We talked a little bit last episode about the shepherd analogy or the shepherd metaphor. God actually told Zechariah to watch some sheep that were destined for sacrifice, so that in that process of watching them and doing what God told him to do, he would have a better understanding of the lesson God was teaching. And isn't that true, John, not to belabor that point, but is that not true in life, that when you participate in something, you learn more than just reading a book about something?
That is beyond doubt true, Pastor. You know, that when we are plugged in, you know, it's one thing about reading about ministry, but when you're plugged into a ministry, doing it, actually seeing God work, it comes alive to you.
And God often taught in and through these object lessons where somebody was doing something. You especially see that true in the books of like Jeremiah or Ezekiel, and we see it here in the book of Zechariah. Look at verse number 8, my friends, if you would, where the Bible says, three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you, that dieth, let it die. That is to be cut off, let it be cut off, and let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. That sounds really, really dark to me. Hey, people are going to die, let them die. People are going to get killed, let them be killed. People that are going to cannibalize each other, let them do it. I mean, what's going on here? Who are these three shepherds? What's being cut off? Why the darkness?
You know, as a quick side note, Pastor, when you read about cannibalism here, you talk about just the sad destruction, it reminds me back in Deuteronomy, when Moses told the people of God, they're supposed to get on the two mountains and yell the curses and blessings back together. And Moses told them that if you do not follow God, God's going to judge you. He'll judge you again. And the judgment will get so harsh over time if you don't come back to God that eventually you will end up eating one another's children. And I'm sure at that time they thought that would never happen. But sad, we saw that later on in their history happen during the times of the kings. But here, Pastor, bringing it to Zechariah, I think of the three shepherds. I think as I look at this, I think this is a good indication. You know, we think of shepherds as leaders in this passage we're going through here. I think this is a good representation of the prophet, priest, and king in Israel's history, the three offices that God worked through to guide his people. Obviously, there are not kings now. Rome is the superior, but there would have been political leaders. But all of the leaders of Israel, no matter if they were political, religious, if they were prophet, all of them had turned away from God.
They had, yeah. And I love that analogy, because we view the metaphor of shepherd in the Bible monolithically. We see it as, well, the shepherd's the pastor. And certainly that's a great New Testament analogy. The pastor is the shepherd. Matter of fact, that's what the very etymology of the word is, shepherd. But in the Old Testament, a shepherd referred to a civil leader like a king, referred to a religious leader like a priest. It referred to somebody through whom God communicates, like today a pastor, but back in the Old Testament, a prophet. So I would tend to agree with you, John, that the three shepherds are the prophet, priest, and king. And the Bible says that they were cut off in 1 month. My soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. So when it comes to the true shepherd, the Messiah, there is this antagonistic relationship between the three shepherds and the true shepherd. Talk to me a little bit about that antagonism.
Yeah, I think, Pastor, as we look in the Gospel of Matthew, it comes out in all the Gospels, but I think in the Gospel of Matthew in chapters 22 and 23, you know, in chapter 22, we find the religious leaders, we find the Pharisees and the Herodians, who typically didn't even get along very well, but they came together to oppose Christ. And we find in that chapter, the Pharisees, Herodians, the Sadducees, all of the different religious people and all the leadership in Israel came to try to trick Christ. They hated him, and they wanted to make him trip up in front of the common people. But Christ answered them wisely. But we will find throughout the Gospels, when Christ is in Jerusalem, the hubbub of activity, the real place of great leadership, we will often find problems for Jesus Christ because the religious elite hate him.
They do. And it's interesting, the time frame given in 1 month. It, when you study the life of Jesus, you really see the turning of the people who were swayed by these leaders. Yes. They were swayed by these groups of people, and you find the turning from the shepherd taking place in just a very short period of time, just as the Bible predicted.
It is remarkable how people, you know, under John the Baptist, a lot of common people followed him. A lot of common people followed Jesus Christ. But it didn't take long for people to start jumping ship, so to speak, and to be swayed by other people and to stop following Jesus Christ.
There's no doubt in my mind that some of the very same people that had cried Hosanna on Sunday were people that cried crucify him a few days later. So such is the grip of human leadership on people to manipulate their thinking or their behavior. And such is the fickleness, I think, sometimes of people that are looking not for a savior as much as they're looking for temporary help, a political messiah, which was the case certainly in Jesus' day. And then the Bible says in verse 9, then said I will not feed you. So once the rejection of the true shepherd has been effected, then he says, okay, I take off my hand of provision. I remove my staff of beauty. I will let you fend for yourselves. And the horrific verse 9, where those that are going to die are going to die, those that are going to be cut off are going to be cut off, and those that are going to cannibalize each other are going to do that, I think it's a reference to what happens in 70 AD when the Romans destroy Jerusalem and these exact predictions take place.
It's hard for us today to really comprehend just how gruesome it was in AD 70 when Titus came through. And you're right about Josephus discussing this event. We're so far removed from this today that we don't understand how bad it really was. But this verse does give us some insight into how desperate the times were when the judgment of God fell through Titus.
You can know that the Lord has been removed when people get to the place where they're willing to survive by devouring another person. So cannibalism is kind of the starkest reality of what desperate men will do in desperate situations. But John, even there, I see New Testament teaching. For instance, Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says, when we ignore the Spirit's work in our life, when we use our liberty, the freedom that we have in Christ as believers to serve ourselves, then what ends up happening is our giftedness and our freedom really is just an opportunity for us to bite and devour one another. So that talk of cannibalism is the metaphor that Paul uses in Galatians chapter 5. And while we wouldn't dream of eating somebody physically, how often do we do that with our unkind behavior or our gossipy words or our evil surmising? We see that happen in Christian churches all the time.
That's a great exhortation, Pastor. And we do get so revolted by what we find when we think of cannibalism physically. But you're right. The Bible, there are so many spiritual truths we should learn from physical illustrations Jesus gives us. And it would do us well to just evaluate ourselves and think, you know, how am I doing with my sisters and brothers in Christ? Am I treating them as people made in the image of God, whom God loves, who Jesus Christ died for? Am I helping encourage them, or am I a backstabber? Am I going behind and pulling them down rather than building them up?
And what a great reminder that when the shepherd has been rejected, then you're rejecting his sustaining grace. You're rejecting his empowerment. And this then becomes the picture of mankind without the shepherd. It's a very, to me, it's very reminiscent to me of Romans chapter 1. When people know God, they recognize his eternal power and Godhead, but they willfully reject him. And when people reject God and serve themselves, the end of that is never good. Yes. And the longest list of sins you'll find in the Bible is found at the end of Romans chapter 1, where people are murdering and envying and debating and deceiving each other. But it's all a result of having rejected the moral stabilizer that God is.
And I think how the human heart, apart from Christ, is bent on doing wrong. We are not good by our nature. Apart from the grace of Jesus Christ, we are not going to do things that please God. And I think, you know, someday whenever the rapture does happen and Christians are taken out of this world, what it will be like in this world, we know the judgment of God will come. But even beyond that, how things will devolve so quickly because there is not the preservation of any believers in the world anymore.
Look at verse number 10, where Zechariah says, I took my staff, even beauty, remember beauty, favor, grace, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant, which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. So what happens in this extended picture of the shepherd who has been rejected by the people that he has served and said, I'm not going to feed you anymore. You've rejected me, and I'm going to symbolically break the staff. Now, by breaking the staff, that was the implement by which he provided, the implement by which he protected. So I am going to remove my favor from you. So does that mean that a person can lose his salvation? Does that mean that God was abrogating the Abrahamic covenant?
Good question, Pastor. Clearly, we know in the New Testament, the Bible teaches us that once we place our faith in Christ, we are secure in Christ. You know, our salvation is not dependent upon our ability to keep us, but upon what God has done and what God will continue to do in our life. And so we find that in many verses throughout the Bible discussed. And then in the Abrahamic covenant, there are believers today who think that God did break forever his covenant with Israel, and that they're, you know, forgotten now. And now the church has replaced Israel. And now that there are, really are no promises that have any physical fulfillment in the people of Israel. But Paul, very carefully, Romans 9 through 11, deals with all these issues. And he talks about how that for a time, you know, God is working to the Gentiles. But that is to make the people of Israel jealous so they will realize we did miss our Savior. And I want to jump way, but we're going to come to this in Zechariah. But in Romans 9 through 11, Paul talks about that God will work through the Gentiles, through the church age now, to make the Jewish people realize what we did miss, and they will turn to God.
Absolutely. And the people to whom he refers in verse 11, that when that staff was broken, but the poor of the flock that waited upon me. So it appears, John, that in this flock to whom Jesus came, these Jewish people that rejected him, there are some within that flock that are recognizing the Lord, waiting upon him. And the Bible says they knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I believe that this is a reference to Jews that did receive. So although the body of the Jewish people rejected Messiah, there were obviously those that did believe and those that did trust the prophecy of the Lord, even about the coming destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, who believed the prophecy of Matthew 23, 24, and fled Jerusalem at that time. And they ran up the Jordan River Valley and crossed the river and hid out there and escaped from the Romans.
You know, I think, and you know Pastor very well, through all the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God always has a remnant of people. And we really find in the book of Revelation, I don't want to turn there right now, but we find that Satan from the beginning has been intent on stamping out the people, the Jewish people particularly, because so many promises God made are connected to the Jewish nation surviving. And Satan wants to stamp them out, but there always has been a remnant. And you mention it here, we see a remnant right here.
So great imagery, and the imagery even gets better. And that's hard to believe, but the specific prophecy that we're going to talk about next episode is really going to bolster your faith. And that's one of the purposes of prophecy in the Bible, is that we have a God whose word you can trust. And when God predicts something that is of great specificity, that is fulfilled in ways that only God could do it, it ought to make us trust the whole counsel of the Word of God and submit to it. We'll talk a little bit more about that next episode. Thanks for joining us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.